Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Nebuchadnezzar's dream from Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. This is part 2.
He's got whole secret societies and religions who believe that he's actually the good God. Did you know that? You go into the higher levels of the Freemasonic and other secret orders and into what's called Luciferianism and Satanism and these religions. They believe that Lucifer, some say it's a principle, but others say believe he is a real person, and that he was the one who actually set everyone free by talking Eve into eating of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And so they say, well, that's good. We want knowledge. Obviously, Elohim was the evil one and Lucifer's the good one. And you may not know it, but there's people right here in this town who attend what are actually called churches for tax reasons. They call them churches so they can write off their gifts and offerings. They teach that. You got people who say, yeah, I go to church, and you're thinking, oh, that's nice. Not even realizing the kind of church they go to. You got to ask questions, people, because they might invite you to go there too. So he is powerful, but nothing compared to God. I don't want you to don't get the wrong idea. Some of these preachers who say, I just look at Satan and say, I'm going to punch you in the eye. You know, you seen people do that? That's nonsense. You're not going to punch Satan in the eye. He's powerful, but in comparison to God, we'll see one of these days, he's like nothing. Something that charismatics seem not to understand, as I just mentioned. So back to the text, Nebuchadnezzar calls them out, back to chapter 2 and verse 9, if you got your Bibles there. We're going to look at chapter 2, verse 9. And he says, but if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Meaning, you're coming up with all this nonsense, just you're hoping that time will pass and I'll forget about it. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Again, he's putting them their feet to the fire. He says, either put up or shut up. You guys claim to have these powers. I want to see them. He's calling their bluff. How many of you know what that means? Some of you played little cards in the day, I see there. Don't get me started on that. Yeah, that's true too. Murder mysteries will show you the people bluffing. And Matlock will be the one to really show you how to overcome that. But verse 10, read that. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Now, isn't it neat that what we just read in Isaiah 14, they're going to look at Satan and refer to him as a man and say, is this the man? And they say, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Ain't that nice? And this is setting the stage for who? And that's the title of our next message we're going to get into. Hope you all can make it for that one. Verse 11, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except who?
God.
Small g. Whose dwelling is not with flesh. Well, I thought you guys were in cahoots. I thought you were like this. Yeah, that's how they acted, like only us, only we can bridge the gap between you and the gods until somebody says put up or shut up, and suddenly they're like, wait a minute, we're not. But you know who does that? Too many preachers do it today. The ones that say you can't really understand your Bible. You need me so I can tell you what it says in the originals.
Yeah.
I have the power. That's what they want you to think.
Yeah.
And so you need that preacher.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not knocking. I have some friends who wear suits and stuff, and I'm not saying that, you know, that some of them do it because they're in a denomination or whatever. But some of these guys, they really think it's like putting on their Superman suit. Dun, 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 dun. Look up at the pulpit. Is that a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the pastor. Dun, 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 you know. That's such an unfortunate rendering in your Bible. Please allow me to wax eloquent about the Greek. A language that I know so little about that I couldn't speak it to save my life. I couldn't order Greek off of a menu. And yet I'm going to tell you what your Bible ought to say so that you will believe you need me. That's the new priesthood. But if you know your stuff, you just look at them and bless them with the word baloney. I've got my Bible. You'll find me reading it. Bye-bye. Amen. Correction. The gods can't, but the God can.
Amen.
Big G on that God. Amen?
Amen.
For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Now, you might know that he doesn't do that because they show up at the birth of Jesus. We're going to study that in a few weeks. These wise men, after this is all said and done, Nebuchadnezzar realizes they're a bunch of goofballs. And so he says, wait a minute, Daniel's the man. So he makes Daniel the president of the college. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why they show up at the birth of Jesus.
Amen.
And we don't know that there were three. There were three gifts. We don't know how many there were. Could have been a bunch more. But we do know this. They were from Babylon. They were from the east. And they showed up because they become the students of President Daniel. Yeah. We'll see it. Just keep coming back and you'll see it. Or read it on your own. You don't really need me. I just proved that, didn't I? Verse 13, read that. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Dun, 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 dun. That's what you call a cliffhanger, because we've got to stop there. Cliffhanger. We're going to come back and see what happens, but it never really sank in the first few times I read through this that he's going to kill them all, including Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. He was going to kill them all. In closing, we want to address this issue of dreams and visions. Because Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. And there are dreams in the Bible that are referred to. And so, it seems like everybody and their brother has now got a YouTube channel and telling everybody all the dreams they have about the rapture and everything happening. They keep getting it wrong. They keep giving wrong information. So then they delete the video and come out with a new one. Can God use dreams or visions?
Yes.
The answer is, of course. Just try to put God in a box. See how that works out for you. Amen? I'm not saying God doesn't use them because he's used them in my life. I'd be a hypocrite to say that. So how do we know that a dream or vision is from God? Well, first of all, don't give up on your dreams. Keep sleeping. I have to tell you, that's my sister when she's a little baby. She was so cute. And then I was born. And everybody forgot about her. Rules for biblical or for extra biblical sources. This isn't just dreams. This is anything. Anything outside the Bible. If they are from God, they will never contradict the Bible.
Amen.
Someone says, I have a dream. I had a dream and it said this and it goes against the Bible. You know to ignore it. Isn't that simple?
Amen.
It's that simple. They will never come to you through a middleman. like this. Every time someone starts off their sentence with, "The Lord told me to tell you," and you just look at them like, is that good? It looked like that? Hey, I never forget when I was first a Christian. Hadn't been a Christian very long. And I was really struggling with this because I had a couple of good people who were coming up to me and always telling me what God was telling me, but he told them in the dream and they were coming to tell me. And this preacher said, "Listen, if someone comes to you and says, 'The Lord has a word for you from me,' or if someone comes up and says, 'The Lord told me to tell you,' you stop them right there and say, 'Listen, the Lord knows where I live.'" Amen. And boy, you talk about some goofy advice. I know it ain't the Lord. He wouldn't be that goofy. The stuff people told me when they say that. Also, they will never make you a middleman. You have a dream and it says you should go tell so and so, such and such. Don't buy it. Because listen, you may have opened the door, maybe not. It may just be the devil working on you or a devil working on you, but he can work through your dreams. I know somebody whose marriage went on the rocks because his wife had dreams that he had cheated on her. She believed God was trying to tell him that he was cheating on her, and so it started to destroy their marriage. And at some point, some things happened that demonstrated to her that those dreams weren't true, but it was dangerous. But then there have been other people who had dreams about a spouse that was cheating on them, turned out to be true. So you say, how do you know which is true and which is false? Well, first of all, it's just for you, so it's something you pray about. And if that dream is from God, then he'll start to open your eyes to things outside of the dream that'll confirm the dream. And at no point will it tell you to do anything like go find you another man or woman. "I'll show him. I'll go get me a real man." That's not of God. The purpose, if God gave you that dream, was to wake you up to the fact that your marriage is about to be destroyed so you can try to stop it. But that person still has free will, but you can still act on it. See my point?
Yes.
And finally, they will always be fulfilled exactly as given and not fail in some respect or any respect. In other words, if they're from God, they won't contain things that aren't true. They won't lead you astray on some matter. Like the dream where the woman thought that, you know, her husband's cheating. It wasn't of God. It was full of distortions and lies. So that's just some advice there. Because we're talking about this, and Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it was from God, and he knows that because, as we'll see later, God's going to confirm it. But our authority, our final and total authority, is the book you have in your hands called the Bible.
Amen.
That's your authority. Dreams, advice from someone, no matter what it is, you're reading something in a self-help book or something, no matter what it is, it has to conform to the Word of God. The Bible itself says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Covers it all. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God did not leave you empty-handed. God has given you a book. And you use that book as your guide and you test everything by that book. Acts 17:11. And so our next study, we're going to come back and look at Daniel's God. The gods couldn't do it, but Daniel's God can. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your Word. We thank you for the blessing that it is. We thank you for so many people who hunger for the Word of God and come out on a Wednesday night to be taught, and so many on live streaming on the internet, and others who will listen on the online. And we're just thankful for each one. We pray your Holy Spirit will help them to understand what they have heard. Lord, help us to live for you, to completely be sold out for you, to live our daily lives with our bodies presented to you as a living sacrifice, that we would surrender to the filling of your Holy Spirit and be guided by the words in that book that we have. To the glory and praise of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, now if anybody has to leave, feel free to leave, but we do want to give a few minutes for any Q&A. Any questions? Johnny?
I know you did mention this a little bit, but I think it would be important to emphasize it. The fact that just because that there are people definitely who have actual real dark power.
Yeah.
And it, so you might...
I said that. Was it clear to everybody that there are real powers, but it's just not anywhere near the level of God? I'll make that clear.
And I'll continue by saying that trying to test them is not the best idea in all cases. Like, Mom tells a story once how somebody offered, I think, was it to cure a cold? Mm-hmm. But
I said no.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she realized she wasn't going to test it.
I knew he could.
Yeah.
So that's right.
Yeah, there was after I was saved just a short while. One of my friends invited me to go on a little trip with him, and his mom brought this other guy along, and we went to somebody's house and stayed for a couple of days, and then went to the beach for a few days and came home. We were at this other person's house, and we were all just sitting around talking. All of a sudden, he starts breaking out this weird stuff that he's doing, and it was all very occultic and being able to like know what you were thinking kind of stuff and all that, and the holding the hands over you and making you feel like you were lifting up off the table, and then doing this stuff where they could, four people with one finger could lift somebody up in a chair and all these things. And it was weird because I had never been taught anything about that stuff, but it grieved my spirit. I just knew there was something wrong. And so I didn't take part in most of it, or much of any of it, really. And then, the other fellows asked me, "Why you act like you're, kind of bothered by something." I said, "Yeah, it's just something not right about it." And I left it at that. Later, as I researched it, I found out that he was using New Age kind of occultic powers and things. Some of it might have been slip of hand, what do they call it, sleight of hand, all that, but some of it's real. Jenny?
Let's see. Mark Barber has two questions. So first, what about night terrors and sleep paralysis? And second, why do some Bible teachers teach Satan is in hell now, and how do we prove as believers he is not?
Well, I'll answer the second one first, is that Satan is not in hell now, and anybody who teaches that is totally not rightly dividing the word of truth. Peter himself said he still walks to and fro seeking who he may devour. And you can't take the Bible literally and seriously and believe that. He still has a huge role to play in the coming Daniel 70th week, where he's going to then actually possess the Antichrist in the last 3.5 years of that period. And then he's thrown into the bottomless pit during the 1,000 years, so whoever's teaching that must not believe in the millennium, and they're probably amillennial or something like that, but anybody who teaches something that ridiculous, just ignore them. That's all you can do. Yeah, there's plenty of scripture to show he's not done away with until, and even for 1,000 years, he's in the bottomless pit, and he comes out one last time, so even then he's not done. But the first question can be health-related. You talk about night terrors and sleep paralysis and that sort of thing. Sometimes that can be just health related. Sometimes it can be because of medicines that you take. Sometimes it can be neurological problems, brain problems, that sort of thing. But you can't dismiss the reality that it can be a result of spiritual attack. So the first thing you want to do is begin to pray about it. Ask the Lord to deliver you from that. And it doesn't take a priest, a TV preacher, or anyone else. Just you pray and ask the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit to release you from that and to show you whatever might be contributing to that. But at the same time, you go to the doctor and you get checked to see if you have some kind of a neurological issue or side effect from medicines or anything like that. So that I would tell everybody, it's one of those you attack it full force on both fronts and get to the bottom of it. I've known a couple people who have suffered with that. In one case, I know for a fact it was because of some of the psych medicines that they had been put on. Yeah, psych meds is one of the culprits behind that. But then there was somebody else who was into things secretly that didn't let everybody know about, and it was occult. And I believe, and well, when they got rid of all that stuff and got right with the Lord, all that stopped. So there you go. It's kind of a personal journey where you have to figure out what it is and then take care of it. Stephen?
Oh, what exactly and where did the Chaldeans come from?
Well, the Chaldeans are basically the grandchildren of Nimrod. And it was a development over a period of centuries to form that. It was partially because of your bloodline. It wasn't like a open religion where anybody could be one. But it was kind of like how you see in certain Native American tribes or certain African tribes where they have a family that is the witch doctor or whatever, and then you have the shaman thing. It's usually family-oriented and that sort of thing. So it's kind of the way the Chaldeans were. And then it also seems it clearly indicates that other than those who were part of that special secret society, there were also others who were magicians and astrologers and the like. So it's Chaldeans and these others.
So were they kind of like royalty in Babylon?
Priest class. It wouldn't be...
Like the Levites?
Yeah, kind of like the Levites were in Israel, that family line.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what the same thing you find, as I said, in these African tribes. There's like one bloodline that is supposed to possess these powers, and it is passed down generation to generation.
If he would kill all the Chaldeans right then and there, there would be no Chaldeans ever.
Yeah. That's if he was, it's successful in killing every single last one of them, so... Of course, it's like in most of the movies, there's always one that survives, and then 100 years later. Yeah.
There was once a time in life when I didn't want to live. I was much too proud to take anything God had to give. Till I found the fruit of sin's consequences too severe. I fell flat upon my face, and the Savior drew me near. I am free. I am free. I was once lost and blind, but now I see. I am free. I am free. Jesus took my guilt and shame away from me. As I thought on judgment day, when the Lord reviews my case, will I face him as my judge for rejecting his free grace? I repented toward my God with my faith in Jesus Christ. Now I fall upon my knees, praising him who paid the price. I am free. I am free. I was once lost and blind, but now I see. My guilt and shame away from me. Jesus paid for all my sins and has ransomed me from death. In his arms I will arrive when I take my final breath, or he'll rapture me away to be caught up in the sky. I won't even have the time to tell this old world goodbye. I am free, I am free. I was once lost and blind, but now I see. I am free, love and shame away from me.
He hideth my life in the depths of his.